O people, women are deficient in faith, deficient in intelligence, and deficient in shares. As for their deficiency in faith, this can be seen from their abstention from prayer and fasting during the menstrual period. As for their deficiency in shares, that can be seen in that the share of the woman is half of that of the man. As for their deficiency in intelligence, this can be seen in that the witnessing of two women is equal to that of one man. Therefore, beware of the evil of woman. Be on your guard against them, even when they call you towards doing good, for they may lead you towards doing evil. The first of our salawat in honor of Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allah. Second loud salawat in honor of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Third with your loudest voices in honor of the Imam of our time, Imam Sahib al-Asr wal-Zaman. Allah. Respected scholars, brothers and sisters, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The sermon in question is one of the most controversial sermons in the history of the school of Ahlul Bayt, and indeed within the religion of Islam, and is sermon number 80 from Nahj al-Balagha. Indeed, this sermon is one that causes much controversy, that whenever a person reads the sermon and they hear the lines within the sermon, they begin to question Islam's worldview when it comes to woman within the religion and woman as a creation of God. When the lines within this sermon state that women are deficient in faith, deficient in intelligence, and deficient in terms of their shares, you find that straight away a person begins to ask the question that maybe those who attack Islam's position on women have a point. Because when the Western world on many occasions attacks Islam's stance on women, where they say that if there ever is a religion that belittles the female, that does not give rights to the female, that does not respect the female, then it's the religion of Islam. You find that each and every one of us tries to reply back to this by saying that no, on the contrary, our Prophet, peace be upon him and his family, and the great saints of the religion of Islam have always tried to highlight the highest of positions for women. As in, when one looks within the Holy Quran, we constantly try and show proofs for the greatness of women that have come before us. We try and highlight what the Holy Prophet sought to do in Mecca. And then all of a sudden we see within Nahj al-Balagha a sermon that attacks women in a way nobody can attack. And therefore many people also begin to question their imam. Because Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen for us is of course seen as a beacon of knowledge. To us, his words are a reflection of the words of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his family. When the Holy Prophet states that I am the city of knowledge and Ali is its gate, it means that if any of you want to gain knowledge about what I came with in relation to the laws, the theology, the spirituality, then you go through Ali, son of Abu Talib. Then when we see a sermon like this in a book that is in virtually every household in the Shi'i world, yes, many may not have opened the book, but the book collects dust quite nicely on the shelf, like the Quran does. In the Quran and Nahj al-Balagha, both will speak on the Day of Judgment about the way they were used more to make a person's house look good rather for a person's life to build up. But in our houses, all of us have Nahj al-Balagha. And therefore, when we come to looking within Nahj al-Balagha, when Imam says, beware of the evil of woman, my mother is a woman. Sister is a woman. My aunt is a woman. My grandmother is the woman. All of these are part and parcel of my life. The religion of Islam says heaven lies underneath the feet of the mother. And here yet the Imam turns around and puts this on his head. That the Imam says, beware of even the good ones amongst them, supposedly attributed to him. That even the good ones, be careful of them. Because those good ones may be of those who guide you towards evil. Could such words emanate from Imam Ali alayhi salam? A major question. That would Imam Ali ever make lines like this? Some have tried to answer. There are still followers of Ahlul Bayt in the world today who believe that yes, if you look at women around us in the world today, there are women who, for example, may be immoral. There are women in the world today who may be destructive. There are women who may cause dissension between people. Therefore, there are some who say, yes, these are the words of Imam Ali. If Imam Ali says that women are deficient, then they are deficient. If Imam Ali says that they have a deficiency in their aql, a deficiency in their iman, and a deficiency in their hudur, then these are the words of a ma'soom. Because to many, Nahj al-Balagha is the words of Imam Ali. So if Imam Ali alayhi salam says that women are deficient in faith, deficient in intelligence, and deficient in shares, that's something we have to accept the way we accept the Quran. If the Quran says something, and Nahj al-Balagha says something, then all of us have to accept this. How do we therefore reconcile this sermon in Nahj al-Balagha? Is everything from the Nahj to be taken from the Imam or not? Tonight, I'd like to examine the sermon of deficiencies, in order that we extrapolate an understanding of why this sermon was said and who actually said it. And I'd like to do this in the following stages. Number one, who compiled Nahj al-Balagha? And what was the origin of this great personality in the school of Ahlul Bayt? Number two, is everything in Nahj al-Balagha authentic? And do we believe that there is a book other than the Quran that is completely sahih? Like our brothers maybe in other schools in Islam. Number three, what does the sermon mean? Deficient in faith because of their menstrual period. Is the menstrual period a curse from God? Or is it part of the physiology or the reproductive biology of the human? What does it mean when it says that they are deficient in intelligence? Why is it that it takes two female witnesses to equal one male? What does it mean when it says deficiency in shares? Why is it that the female gets half of the male? And is this acceptable? Would the Imam say, beware of the evil of woman? And if he wouldn't, why would this not be from the Imam? And how do we prove that it came from others rather than Amir al-Mu'mineen? And which maraja have said that this khutbah does not relate to Mawla? Let's examine this and dissect the topic in complete depth. If you ask many Shia who wrote Nahj al-Balagha, they'll say to you, Imam Ali alayhi salam. Imam Ali did not write Nahj al-Balagha. Nahj al-Balagha was compiled by Sharif al-Radi. Sharif al-Radi and his brother Sharif al-Murtada are two of the beacons of the history of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. If you ask many Shia about the history of Shi'ism, many of us know the history of Shi'ism up till the ghaibah of our Imam. Do you agree? The moment the ghaibah happens, if you ask people about Messrs. Mufid and Saduq, and you ask them about Murtada and Radi and Hilli, and people like Ibn Junayd and others, such as Shaheed al-Awwal, Shaheed al-Thani, and the others of this ilk, many do not know. That's 1,000 years of our history that we do not know, is in the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, lived for just over 300 years. Many of them we know about. But after the ghaibah of the Imams, there were certain ulama who preserved the school of Ahlul Bayt. Two of them were brothers. From one side, from the line of Imam Al-Kadhim. From the other, from the line of Imam Zain Al-Abideen, salawatullah wa salamu alayhima. Allahumma sallam wa Muhammad. And these two, their mother wasn't just a mother. She was a scholar, not only a scholar, a lady who asked Sheikh Al-Mufid to write a book on the fiqh for females. As many times we have the fiqh for males. But how about the fiqh for females? She said to Sheikh Al-Mufid, write a book on the fiqh for females. He wrote a book called Ahkam al-Nisa. That book was written because the ladies of the community wanted to highlight that we want to gain as much ilm as you, the men. Many times, the men of the community can sit with the Mawlana, can chill with the Mawlana, can have a Q&A with the Mawlana. But poor ladies do not get access. Although sometimes they can sit with the Mulyani, for example. You find that Sharifa Radhi and Murtaba, their mother, because of her piety, one day an incident happens that leads to the glory of their births. Sheikh Al-Mufid was on the Karkh area within Baghdad. You know the Karkh area. If you hear someone whose surname is Karkhi, Karkhi refers to this area within the outskirts of Baghdad. He was there and he had a dream. In his dream, he saw Fatima al-Zahra, salawatullah wa salamu alayha. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Muhammad. Coming to him with Imam al-Hasan and with Imam al-Husayn. And she said to him, please teach these two sons of mine. When he woke up from his dream, he couldn't stop crying. But how is it that I teach the Imams of Ahlul Bayt? And I'm visited by who? By Fatima al-Zahra. That moment, a door knocks. A lady comes. And she says, Salaamu alaykum wa alaykum salam. These are my two sons. One's called Radhi, the other's called Murtada. Can you teach them about Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam? From that moment, he knew that these two boys were from the dua of Fatima alayhi salam. Yes? As in, these two weren't just ulama. We have 12 imams. But we also have a case where after our imams, there are ulama who truly were inspiring, as in Sharif al-Radi's brother, Sharif al-Murtada. One of his titles was Alam al-Huda, the flag of guidance. This man in theology, it's rare to find a human being who gave tashayyu as much in theology as Sharif al-Murtada. His brother, Sharif al-Radi, was writing a book called Khasa'is al-A'imma, the biographies and the particulars of the fada'il of the imams. He says that while I was writing this book, I was writing by Imam Ali, about Imam Ali, about Imam Ali. And you know, when you want to finish a book and you want to get past Imam Ali to get to Imam al-Hasan, you probably spend a lifetime just on Imam Ali alayhi salam. Yes? As in Ali ibn Abi Talib, however much you write about him, you can bring me all the pens in this world. From now till the day of judgment, you'll not be able to elucidate the merits of Ali ibn Abi Talib. As in, if you look at our brothers in Ahlul Sunnah, one of their six main books is called what? Sunan al-Nasa'i. You have Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, Abu Dawood, and Ibn Majah. Sunan al-Nasa'i, al-Nasa'i, why was he killed? Because he would praise Imam Ali so much. They said to him, praise Muawiyah. And Muawiyah does have hadiths of praise. That, you know, his stomach would reach a level where, because of eating too much, there's a world of gluttony and so on, which is mentioned in terms of the merits of Muawiyah. I won't go too deep into it. It's only been 3 years since I came here. When it came back towards the Imam, when it came to Imam Ali alayhi salam, the Imam, he would write the merits of Ali ibn Abi Talib. They said to him, you keep writing on Ali. He said, if I write from now till the day of judgment about Ali, it will not be enough. They tortured him to death. They tortured him to death because he wrote on the merits of Ali. And this is one of the six Sahih. The Sahih Sitta, one of the authors, was tortured to death because of writing the merits. Therefore, Sharif al-Radi writing the merits, some group came to him. They said to him that we want you to collect the sermons and the letters and the greatest sayings of Imam Ali alayhi salam, because we want to continue to swim in the hikmah of Ali. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen, as he himself says, I know the secrets of the heavens, not just the paths of the earth. If you want me to talk about the metaphysical world, I'll tell you how the universe was created. Even not just how it was created, even I was there in the creation. I can even tell you about the cosmological world. I can tell you about ethics and psychology. Ask me before you lose me. No doubt. Therefore, he wrote and collected Nahj al-Balagha. Nahj al-Balagha in English is wrongly translated as the what? As the peak of eloquence. Nahj al-Balagha is not peak of eloquence. It's the path to eloquence.
Yes.
The highway to eloquence. Nahj, manhaj, is this particular path that a person takes. Balagha, the highest levels of eloquence. Nobody had eloquence in the Arabic language like Amir al-Mu'mineen. And it's not surprising, considering the Holy Prophet was his teacher. If you had a teacher like the Holy Prophet, peace be upon his family, whose teacher is Jibra'il? Whose teacher is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In the sense that Jibra'il would come and bring the teachings. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, directly from Allah. Allah would teach him. You find, therefore, that Imam Ali, all of these, Nahj al-Balagha, was a collection of his greatest Arabic sermons. Because you know, the origin of Arabic grammar is Imam Ali alayhi salam. People say Abu al-Aswad al-Du'ali, from Imam Ali alayhi salam, he learned the origin of the Arabic language. And that's why when they come to Imam Ali and they say to him, Mawla, we want to ask you a question. You're so great in Arabic and you are Nahj al-Balagha. Then give us a sermon where there isn't a single letter with a dot on top. In Arabic, can you have a letter without a dot on top and have a lecture on it? That's like you saying to me, give a lecture tonight, but you can't have a vowel in any word that you use. I'll be in no man's land. You tell me, remove ba, remove ta, remove tha, remove jim, remove kha, remove... I can't remove those letters from a sermon. Imam gave a whole sermon without one letter with a dot on top. Imagine. Or a letter with a dot at the bottom. Then they said to him, okay, give a whole sermon without alif. You tell me now, said Ammar, give a sermon without the letter A. A whole lecture without the letter A. Can I? I can't. I just said, can I? And already I have the A involved. Yes. Whereas when it comes to Imam Ali, gave a whole sermon without the letter alif. Go online, type sermon without dots. Type sermon without alif. You'll see both sermons, the most eloquent sermons. Therefore, Sharif al-Radi decided, let me collect all of these. These are treasures. And you know what Ibn Abi al-Hadid described Nahj al-Balagha as? The words of Imam Ali. Above the creation, below the creator. Allah. Is there a better description? Above the creation, below the creator. Nobody could come near such words. And truly, when you look at the Arabic of Nahj al-Balagha, the Arabic is pretty much impossible to read. You really have to be, you got to have mastered Nahw, Sarf, Balagha, inside out, for you to understand Nahj al-Balagha. You look at the number of people who wrote a sharh of Nahj al-Balagha, Sunni and Shia, because for someone from Ahlul Sunnah, forget if I agree with everything. The Arabic alone is useful for a course. Many of the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah, Ibn Abi al-Hadid, al-Mu'tazili, Muhammad Abdu of the contemporary, you found that they wrote on Nahj al-Balagha. They said, it doesn't matter about whether we agree with everything or no. No man can come in eloquence like Ali, son of Abu Talib. Yes. Nobody. Therefore, the shuru' would all be written of Nahj al-Balagha. The Shia ulama, many of them who are alive, you see Ayatollah Nasr, Makarim, you find, for example, of those of the past, such as al-Bahrani, you find Abd al-Zahra al-Khatib, others who have written brilliant commentaries on the Nahj. Now, because of this, when he compiled the Nahj, what's his criteria? The isnad of a sermon, the chain of the sermon, or what's his criteria how beautiful the Arabic was? Because when I come to a sermon in Nahj al-Balagha, is Nahj al-Balagha 100% sahih? We don't believe any book after the Quran is 100% sahih. I don't have a book called Sahih al-Kafi. I don't have a book called Sahih al-Nahj al-Balagha. I don't have a book that I say is completely sahih. Why? Because there'll be a day where I have to come and put caveats to try and justify some of the nonsense in some of the literature. Yeah? If I see, for example, that there is a hadith where a prophet is punched or punches.
That's it.
A prophet punches somebody. Rasulullah or a prophet of Allah punches somebody. I'll think about my prophet punches somebody, maybe self-defense. What if he punches an angel? Would a prophet of Allah punch an angel? What if the prophet punches the angel of death? What if the prophet punches the angel of death and gives him a black eye? I haven't seen Noor get black eyes, I must admit. But when I see that, I have to make caveats. I have to make different explanations and so on. The only book which is completely authentic is the Quran. Do we all agree? The Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected it and its authenticity with the ayah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in Surah 15, verse 9, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. We verily send down the reminder, and we are its protectors. And every year, I hear the same thing. The Shia have a different Qur'an. The Shia have a different Qur'an. The Shia have a different Qur'an. Habibi, come, have a look at my Qur'an here. Have a look. Have a look. It's published in Riyadh. The Qur'an here is published in Riyadh. Go and read my Qur'an. You say, I have a different Qur'an. My Qur'an was compiled in the time of Rasulullah. Peace be upon his family. My Qur'an was compiled when? In the time of the Prophet. Before what? Because some people say Qur'an was compiled after the Holy Prophet. No. Qur'an was compiled in the time of the Holy Prophet. Prophet supervised Imam Ali to compile the Qur'an. Some Muslims say no, Qur'an was compiled years after Rasulullah died. Then how could the Prophet say, I leave behind the Qur'an for you if it's not compiled yet? What am I leaving behind for you? Mind you, he left the walking Qur'an behind for us. Only those who know, know. But if the Prophet says, I leave behind for you the Qur'an, that means that the Qur'an was compiled in the time of the Holy Prophet. Someone says, but we have the Uthmani Codex. So Uthman compiled the Qur'an. Now Uthman, in his period, there were many Qur'ans around. Some had dots, some didn't have dots. They stuck to one codex for everybody to continue to live. Otherwise, the Qur'an for me is the only authentic book. Nahj al-Balagha is open to question. Open to question through sincerity. Not because there's a sermon that attacks your idols. There's a sermon in Nahj al-Balagha that attacks the sect's idols. You can't say that I don't agree with Nahj al-Balagha because it's attacking my idols. If it's attacking your idols, then at the end of the day, it shows that in 25 years after the Prophet died, there was clearly a difference with what took place at Saqif and what took place at Ghadir. And why do we hold on to Ghadir? For what reason? Because Saqif meant every Tom, Dick and Harry could one day become a leader. Yazid could become a leader. Abu Bakr Baghdadi could become a leader. Anyone could become a leader. Ghadir is where Allah said, I choose the leader. Not anybody else. I'm the one who chooses who the leaders are. So therefore, some say Nahj al-Balagha not authentic because of a khutbah like Shaqshaqiyyah, where Imam Ali alayhi salam talks about what happened after the Prophet died and what they did to the religion of Islam. Some say, I will not accept Nahj al-Balagha. No, if we don't accept Nahj al-Balagha as completely authentic, it's because there's no book except the Quran that's completely authentic. However, for us, as the followers of Ahlul Bayt, our books are all open to question. All of them. If there is a sermon in our books where the chain has people missing, then straight away we turn around and say, look, that sermon is not authentic if it's got certain people missing. If I say, for example, that I heard in Leicester Jama'at that something took place, and for example, Arif heard, and for example, Qasim, for example, Jibra'il, for example, Sam. If I say I've got a lovely chain there, I've got a chain of people in a good isnad. If there's someone missing in that chain, has been 60 years, 150 years missing, then there's. If you even just say, I heard it from so-and-so, but I'm not sure who it was, I heard that they said that. Imagine someone says, I heard that this came from Imam Ali. That's not useful for me. I heard that this came from Imam Ali alayhi salam. I'm not going to use such marasil. Likewise, if a sermon, this is important, contradicts the Quran. Ahlul Bayt said, our words, you make the Quran the criteria. Do we agree? If I see that something contradicts the Quran, Al-Muhammad would never contradict the Quran. Never. Al-Muhammad are the walking Qurans on the earth. They are part of the Thaqalain. Quran and Ahlul Bayt will not contradict. Therefore, when I come to this sermon where Imam Ali says, O people, women are deficient in faith, deficient in intelligence, deficient in shares, let's see. Firstly, break these down. Let's see whether there is a deficiency or not. And would Mawla say that or no? Women are deficient in faith. Why? Because of their menstrual period. It means that they stay away from prayer and fasting. As you know, a lady does not pray or fast when it comes to the monthly cycle. Which one does she have to repeat? She has to repeat the fasts. Do we agree? She doesn't repeat the prayers. Some might say, wait, prayer is the most important thing in this religion. And all of you know the story when Abu Hanifa tells our sixth Imam, when Imam asked him, what's greater, prayer or fasting? And he said, prayer. He said, why? He said, because, you know, prayer is the pillar of this religion. If you do it, your acts are accepted. And if you reject it, all your acts are rejected. He said to him, then why is it that the lady, when it comes to her monthly cycle, she has to repeat her fast, but does not repeat her prayers? So lady, when it comes to the monthly cycle, does not have to, what, repeat the prayers. But she has to repeat the fast. I ask you, this monthly cycle is a curse from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As in, if we were to say that Imam Ali says that women are deficient in faith because of their abstention from prayer and fasting in monthly cycle, the abstention was because of the woman or Allah's decision? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who initiated a law. In that law, he said, you have to stay away from fasting and you have to stay away from prayer. I ask you, that lady who is in her monthly cycle, can she still have strong iman when she's in her monthly cycle? Let me give you an example. One of the most mustahab acts for a lady to perform, because you know when you're in the monthly cycle, you can't pray. Do you know what's mustahab to do? At salah time, to sit on the prayer mat and just do tasbih. She cannot pray. It's haram for her to pray. But she can sit on the prayer mat and she could do tasbih to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that that's my connection with you. I love salah. I cannot pray because, but it's mustahab that at Maghrib time, the amount that she normally prays, say, her salah is 7 minutes, 10 minutes. Actually, ladies' salah is longer than men. Men is like 2 minutes and done. Ladies, mashallah, our grandmas, you see them in the musalla. They're ready to do tasbih. They're ready. That lady sits there. It's mustahab. Now I ask you, is there a naqas in her iman, in her faith, when this lady sits there on the prayer mat? Someone asked the question that in the menstrual cycle, is the lady allowed to go to the graveyard? No problem. Lady can go to the graveyard in the menstrual cycle. And I know in our communities sometimes, you find some people say that if a lady is in her menstrual cycle, she cannot go to the Qabristan. Where this is from, I do not know. Our brothers in Ahl Sunnah have some opinions like this that can be problematic. But for us, a lady can go to the graveyard in her menstrual cycle. If you go to the graveyard, what are you going to do? Can she read Quran? If she's in her menstrual cycle, of course she can. She can read the Quran. Except the ayahs of sijda. You know, there's the wajib ayahs where you have to go down in sujood. May Allah never show you them in hajj. For some reason, every year I went to hajj, he has to read an ayah with sujood. I said, buddy, give me a break. There's no other ayah to read. Have to all of us go down. There's one guy still in ruku'ah, the other is in sujood. The other's got baffled because he doesn't know where he's walked in. A lady can pick up the Quran in her monthly cycle. Can that lady read the Quran? She can read the Quran, but she cannot touch the words of the Quran. Like the man, when the man is in a state of janaba as well. Further than that, can a lady go in ziyara? Can she go ziyara to the maraqid of Ahlul Bayt? Because these are all showing that this line cannot be from Imam Ali. Imam Ali alayhi salam would not contradict the laws that he himself has discussed, which show iman at its highest. There are many ladies who go on ziyara. Can you go on ziyara in your monthly cycle? Meaning that can I head towards Karbala in my monthly cycle? I can head towards Karbala in my monthly cycle. I can be in the sahan on the outside of the haram of Ahlul Bayt in my monthly cycle, I can be in that sahan, but I cannot go near the area of the grave of Abi Abdullah and of the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salam. Some say that you can walk straight in and out rather than sitting over there. Therefore, I ask all of you, when they say that Imam Ali said, women are deficient in Iman, aren't these all areas of Iman? A lady in her monthly cycle can read the Quran. A lady in her monthly cycle can go and visit the Qabristan. A lady in her monthly cycle can sit by the Musalla. Even if she doesn't pray, she can sit there and she's able to. All of these. And further than that, I ask you, just because you have a monthly period, how does that affect Iman? How is that a moral deficiency? If someone has a monthly period, Iman is where? In the heart of the human. How is my biological affecting my heart? Iman is where? Islam is lip service. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. That's lips. Iman is in the qalb of the human. When somebody is going through a biological function in their body, how is that affecting my love of Allah? My love of Muhammad and Al Muhammad. Salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhima. Leicester Jama'at used to be known for its salawat, but it seems Sunday night we need a second louder salawat, inshallah. A third salawat in honor of Umm al-Baneen. Allah. Salam. Therefore, that first line of the sermon said what? The first line said very clearly that, O people, women are deficient in faith. Because of what? Because of the fact that they have their monthly. Yes, Imam Ali would not say that. That's number one. Number two, women are deficient in intelligence. Baffling. I see consultant cardiologists out there. See some of the brightest minds at Oxford and Cambridge Law School. You go and see some of the top surgeons out there. What gender are they? Well, it does beg the question, if all of them can reach the top in that, why can they not reach the top in marja'iyah? Well, that's another discussion, inshallah. Imam, they say that Imam Ali, sadly, they say that Imam Ali says women are deficient in intelligence because the testimony of two women is equal to what? The witnessing is equal to one man. Because in the Quran, in Surah 2, verse 282, many get asked this question. That why is it the two women have to come with one man? What is this disrespect? Not disrespect. That ayah, then financial complications occur. You bring the two men to solve this issue, two witnesses. But if you cannot get two men, get one woman and two ladies. Not one man or one man and two ladies. Not one man and one lady. Because that situation may not be a situation at that time which they're used to. Going, court, testifying, finance. Today, maybe different. Today, financially, you can have ladies at the top of Goldman Sachs, at the top of UBS Warburg, at the top of PricewaterhouseCoopers, at the top of all these big firms, or at the top of different law firms, hospitals, and so on. Maybe a bit more strength. Mind you, you'll always find that some may say, I want to call a friend in this difficult time. I'm going to do this decision and so on. That doesn't show a weakness on the lady. That rather shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates us all differently. Our mother's warmth is a million times more than our dad's. Do you agree? Our dads are warm, but there's nothing like when your mom's ready to do anything for you. Dad is ready, but with a favor back that he requires shortly. Mom, wallah, she'll sell everything just for you to be happy. Therefore, that warmth is there, witnessing of two women to one man, is not a deficiency at all. Not a deficiency. And rather, how does that affect the intelligence? On the contrary, you'll find that it has no effect on intelligence on the aql. Yes, one may argue, aql in opposition to what? Aql in opposition to jahl, aql in opposition to hilm, aql. Could be different derivatives of aql and its opposition, but how does the fact that this testimony show Allah doesn't respect the aql of the female? That's on the second level. Then thirdly, oh people, women are deficient in their shares because you find that the share of the woman is half of the man. Not in all cases. Not in all cases. When the Quran said, لِلذَّكَرِ مِثْلُ حَظِّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ, that's one case. There are other cases where woman gets 1/4. Others where woman gets 1/6. Others where woman gets 1/8. Inheritance is not just one case. And who knows about inheritance? Inheritance of the earth, which is nasabi and sababi, but Ali ibn Abi Talib. Do you agree? Is there anyone with more knowledge of the Quran and the abrogated verses and the unseen and the ta'wil and the tafsir like Mawla? Nobody knows as much as Ali in this area, being the Khalif of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon his family. For us to say that, why is it that women get half of that of men? Firstly, as we know, the man is seen as the breadwinner. Some will show me cases. Yes, you might show me in parts of Europe or parts of North America where the woman may be the breadwinner. But I think you'd guarantee me and you'd agree with me that generally in the 6 continents of the world, the man is still South America, Africa, Australia. You still find that the man is still the main breadwinner. Yes, you're going to show me that there's parts of Zurich and London and New York, and I agree, there may be women who are the breadwinners, not the man. But while the man is the breadwinner, that man also has to look after his wife. You know, in Islam, your wife doesn't have to earn a single penny. Nothing. Nothing at all. You have to look after her. So in one way, it was to look after, protect the rights of the men. But on the other, if you have ladies who are to inherit, say, for example, a Muslim lady, a widow, if she, for example, has no kids, 1/4 goes towards her. If she has kids, 1/8 goes towards her. Or a daughter, they say the daughter gets half of the brothers. What if she has no siblings? Then she gets half of the property. And then in the laws of red, you could give her the other half as well. Therefore, those who come and say that, why is it that the woman gets half of that of the man? There are instances where she may get half of the man. Whereas there are other instances, she can collect half herself. And even in the laws of red, she can collect the other half for herself. Therefore, with all of these, do these contradict what the laws are? Of course they do. There's no way that your share is an inheritance or any of these affect your iman or affect your aqil. Therefore, would iman... Some turned around and said, Imam Ali didn't mean all women. He meant one woman. Again, this is wrong. They say that Imam Ali was referring to the wife of the Prophet, Aisha. They say that he was referring to her. If he is referring to her, he has another sermon in Nahj al-Balagha where he mentions her. When he says, Kuntum jundal mar'a, you were the army of that woman, of that lady. In Sermon 13 of Nahj al-Balagha, he says, you were the army of that lady. In this one, he says, woman, all of them are deficient in faith, deficient in shares. There's a difference between the two. Because some people try to say, Imam Ali, at the Battle of Jamal, when Aisha raised an army against the Imam, Imam Ali turned around and he said, women are all deficient. On the contrary, it's not referring to her at all. Why isn't it referring to her at all? Because we have this sermon elsewhere, nothing to do with the Battle of Jamal. Imam Ali, he had supposedly others who had said this sermon, not him. And while they were giving the sermon, supposedly at the end of that sermon, they were talking about ethics and so on. Nothing to do with the Battle of Jamal. Those who try and say, because I know in Nahj al-Balagha it's written, and this was after the Battle of Jamal. Nothing to do with the Battle of Jamal. Someone asks, is it in Shi'i books, this sermon? Because if I find it in Nahj al-Balagha, if I find it in another Shi'i book, then it must be somewhat authentic, because it can't have that shuhra, that fame, and not be authentic. Al-Kafi, as we know, is the main Shi'i book of hadith. Do we agree? Al-Kafi of Sheikh al-Kulayni is the main book of Shi'i hadith. One line from this khutbah is in Al-Kafi. Just one. Which line? Beware of the evil of woman. That line is understandable because Imam Ali in other hadiths says, beware of the evil of men. Sometimes, beware of the evil of woman. His death was because of a woman, if you know what I mean. Ibn Muljam loved a lady who told him, kill Ali and I will marry you. Beware of the evil of woman. So likewise, it says, beware of the evil of men. In Al-Kafi, the hadith is there that Imam Ali said, beware of the evil of woman. But did Imam Ali in Al-Kafi, I defy anyone to show me a Shi'i text, one Shi'i text of hadith literature, not Nahj al-Balagha. Nahj al-Balagha is Arabic literature. Do we agree? Nahj al-Balagha is Arabic literature. Of course, the scope can be moral and theological. But Nahj al-Balagha is Arabic. Show me Saduq, Mufid, Kulaini, any of our great ulama who have the sermon from Imam Ali. What do they have? They have one line. Beware of the evil. That one is there. Otherwise, Imam Ali is saying that women are deficient in faith, deficient in their aql, deficient in their shares. That is nowhere to be seen within our literature. Can you find something similar in Sahih al-Bukhari? It's there. That's there. Can you find it maybe in the works of others like Ibn al-Jawzi and other scholars of other schools in Islam? They have lines which are similar. But in our school, you have one of our four Maraja and Najaf. May Allah lengthen their lives. Ayatollah al-Sistani and Ayatollah al-Hakim. Ayatollah Bashir al-Najafi. And we have Ayatollah Ishaq Fayyad. Yes. Ishaq Fayyad, one of the great students of Ayatollah al-Khoi. May Allah bless his soul. Ayatollah al-Fayyad says that this sermon attributed to Imam Ali are not the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam. See, if you say it, people will not accept. But when you say Ayatollah al-Fayyad says it, people will accept, because that's an authority figure. And he says that that does not come from the Imam. Why? Because number one, contradicts the Quran, and Imam Ali would never contradict the Quran. The Quran talks of the woman and praises them highly. That the Quran says, we created you, O mankind, from male and female, different races, different tribes. The best amongst you, in the eyes of Allah, is the one on her monthly period. Best amongst you in the eyes of Allah, the one with the most inheritance. No. Best amongst you in the eyes of Allah is the one who fasts and prays a lot. No. Best amongst you, men and women, in the eyes of Allah is the one with the most taqwa, God consciousness. Those, it doesn't matter what gender you are. You could be a male and you come to the mosque, but you have no consciousness of Allah in your life whatsoever. Muharram comes, Muharram go. Muharram come, Muharram go. And Muharram is a great time to recharge the battery. But the battery has been dead since Ramadan. If you meet someone who has not come to the mosque for 4 months since the 23rd night of Ramadan, and then he comes in Muharram, like the iPhone battery goes tick, 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 and then you're dying to find the charger. There's no wonder people's souls die. It's because the charge that is Majalis Ahlul Bayt goes. The best amongst us are the ladies in our community. When you see them constantly, while some of us men make a million excuses for not coming to majalis. I'm busy. I'm tired. Is it online? Is it offline? Online? Is it live stream? I can appreciate live stream for someone living in New Zealand. You live 15 minutes from the mosque, you need live stream? This majlis was not for the lectures. It was to recharge my soul so I get closer to Al Muhammad. I get closer to the Imam of my time. I sit in the presence of Ahlul Bayt. Clicking a button on a computer at home? Give me a break. I could do better things. Therefore, our ladies, they come out because their taqwa, their consciousness of Allah, makes them come to majalis Ahlul Bayt. And when you look at Amir al-Mu'mineen, not only wouldn't he contradict the Quran, but look at the greatest ladies who surrounded him in his life. Yes? If you look at Mawla, would Mawla say women are deficient in their aql and are deficient in their iman when he has Fatima in front of him? No doubt. If I list you the greatest ladies that are the greatest ladies of Islam, by the way. The greatest ladies of Islam. Let's look at the greatest ladies of Islam. The ones who did not cause fitna. The ones who did not cause Muslims to kill each other. The ones who did not cause people to hate each other. the ones who respected the values of Islam. I ask you now, if you tell me there's a lady in the streets of Leicester, she causes the people of Leicester to come together and fight and kill each other and so on. Is she the same as the one who lives as a peaceful person in Leicester? She's not the same. Likewise, you look at the greatest ladies of Islam. Where do you start? Fatima al-Zahra, salawatullah wa salamu alayha. Allahumma salam. Sayyidat Nisa al-Alameen. I ask you, does she have any deficiencies in her? Can you see a more perfect role model? And perfect not just because she's Rasulullah's daughter. I'm sick and tired of people who praise Fatima al-Zahra because she's the Prophet's daughter. So what? Abu Lahab's his uncle. Fatima's the daughter. Fatima's the daughter. So what? In Shi'ism, we do not praise because of association. We praise because of merit. Others praise because of association. I'm related to him and I'm related to her. Your relations. Nabi Nuh had relations, they died. That's kufar. We respect Fatima because of the aql of Fatima. The mantaq of Fatima. Tahara of Fatima. Taqwa. That wonderful lady, the way she walked on this earth, you cannot put a blemish on her life, even though they tried. They tried to put a blemish that she got jealous. Imam Ali was trying to get other ladies. What do you do? And sometimes some of us, when we sit on minbar, we get slandered. And people say to us, how do you have thick skin when people attack you? Firstly, the one who attacks you normally is somebody no one cares about their existence on the earth. They care about their own existence. But secondly, it's because Mawla was slandered. So who am I? Who am I? If Mawla got slandered and if Fatima got slandered. So therefore, the greatest woman in Iman, Fatima. In Aql, Fatima. And even in inheritance. They say Imam Ali said, women are deficient because of their inheritance. So what, his wife was deficient when she talked about Fadak and how Fadak was meant to be her property, which they confiscated from her. Therefore, the first of the great ladies, Fatima. And her death left a gaping hole in his heart. Gaping hole. Imagine you lose the lady you love. You got 4 kids right in front of you, battered between a door and a wall. That's difficult. Difficult. And you'd think that if you got squeezed between the wall and the door, you would think to yourself that that lady would still cry in anguish and pain. Nope. Solid. She stood up. Took Hassan and Hussein and she said, let's go and we defend your father and defend the religion of Islam. Allah. Where do you get a lady like Fatima? Where? That's why we admire Fatima. Not because she's the daughter of or the wife of. That's because Fatima left a legacy. A second Fatima, his mother, Fatima bint Asad. Without her, Islam would not have grown. Her? And her husband, Abu Talib. Islam would never have grown. That Fatima bint Asad was a bedrock for this religion. While others were not coming towards the path of the Prophet, she remained firm with the Prophet. When he buried her, he said, it's like I'm burying my mom, not Imam Ali's mom. Imagine. Fatima bint Asad, a second outstanding lady. A third, Maryam, mother of Jesus. Quran mentions her as an example. Is she deficient? In her aql, deficient in her iman was a legacy for us. That when all of the scholars said to her that you committed zina, she relied on her Lord. Her Lord will protect her. 4, Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun. Many of us, if someone was to put a knife on our head and say to us, curse God, we may curse from a door of protection of life. Pharaoh said to her, you believe in me as God? She said, no. If you don't, I'll crucify you. Then crucify me. I ask you, is this lady deficient? This lady who started off in the world of disbelief ended up one of the ladies of Jannah. Then you have Fatima's mother, Khadija, alayhi salam. Allah. Where do you get like Khadija? If it wasn't for the sword of Ali and the wealth of Khadija, this religion would never have grown. Another, Asma bint Umays, the wife of Ja'far al-Tayyar. That lady helped bury Fatima al-Zahra. You know why I mention all these ladies? Because these are forgotten. History. So what do I say? Let me just hold back a bit. This Asma bint Umays, she stood with Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Protected Ahlul Bayt. Stood with honor. Who else? Ayman stood with Ahlul Bayt. Who else? Sumayya, the mother of Ammar bin Yasir. Crucified by Abu Jahl and somebody else. I'll leave his mention. Crucified by Abu Jahl. You can't talk about history anymore. Everything you want to say, people are walking on eggshells. Crucified by Abu Jahl. And someone else from Bani Makhzum. And yeah. Sumayya, mother of Ammar. Mother of Ammar bin Yasir. Crucified. Ammar crying, seeing his mother die in front of him. That lady was deficient in aql, deficient in Iman. The whole of Iman was Sumayya, the mother of Ammar bin Yasir. Who else? Bibi Fidda. Allah. Fidda. Servant of Fatima. 20 years of her life, all she would answer was in the Quran. Which aql can only answer with Quran? Any question you ask, she only replies with a verse of the Quran. Remember there was the Tabatabai child. Years back, this young boy, he was answering with Quran. Imagine, Fidda, any question you would ask her. Quran, Quran, Quran. Every line was what? From the Quran. And that Fidda saw the calamities of Karbala. All the calamities of Al Muhammad. That Fidda saw them one by one. Yes. Because at Karbala, there were ladies who were there in flesh. And there were ladies who were there in spirit. Ladies who were there in flesh were the ladies who saw their loved ones killed in front of. Is there a deficiency in Rabab when she sees an arrow in that boy's neck? I ask you. That baby's neck when an arrow went in him. Is there a deficiency in Rabab? How, which mother can take her baby boy back? There's no mother who can. Is there a deficiency in Layla when Ali al-Akbar came back? Allah, Allah, we're coming to those nights very soon. That Layla called out the famous lines, "Oh Allah, you returned Yusuf back to Ya'qub. You returned Ismail back to Hajar. Return my Ali back to me." Was there a deficiency, I ask all of you, in Zainab alayhi salam? The lady who saw all the masa'ib of Al Muhammad, the masa'ib of Karbala. All these ladies I'm mentioning to show you the greatness of these ladies and these personalities, you will not find the likes of. They were there in the flesh. There was a lady in Medina who was there in spirit. Umm al-Baneen. Allah. These are for all of you tonight. The lovers of Abbas and his brothers. This is for you. Those of you who have a wish to go to Karbala next year. Those of you who want to go to Jannat al-Baqi. There are some who have not been to Jannat al-Baqi. When you walk in Jannat al-Baqi, if you take a right, you see four lonely graves at Medina. But if you take a left, there's a lonely lady. Umm al-Bani, Allah. This lady, Imam Ali, loved her, married her after Fatima al-Zahra. And look at the sacrifice of this lady. She said, "All my sons are for Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salam. My eldest Abbas, your role is to protect Hussein. And you as well, Abdullah, protect Hussein. And you, Uthman, protect Hussein. And you, Aun, you protect Hussein." And she told Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, "I'm not your mother, I'm your servant, Abu Abdullah." As Abbas was leaving, he turned around and looked at his mother. She said to him, "Abul Fadl, make me proud." I cannot come to Karbala. He said, Mom, look after my baby boy. He had a baby boy. She used to carry him everywhere. Any mother loves to look after her grandchildren. She said, I want to make sure that you and your three brothers make me proud. That when I meet Fatima al-Zahra, she will say, your boys made us proud. And the last thing she did was look at Abbas's arms as he was walking. And Abu al-Fadl left, and the other three brothers left. And they all headed towards Karbala. When? A few months before Karbala. Do you know how hard it is for a mom not hearing how her boys are? It's difficult for a mom. You don't know how your boys are. You don't know. If you ask any mother in the crowd and the ladies today, when your children are at school for 6 hours, how are you feeling? 6 hours. How are you feeling? Imagine for months you don't know how your boys are doing. Whenever anybody would come back towards Medina, she says, is there any news? Believe you me, this lady, whenever you're in trouble, read a Fatiha. In her honor, Allah will get you out of the difficulty. Fatiha for Umm al-Baneen. Allah loved this lady. Any news? No news. Any news? No news. It got to Muharram. Any news? No news. Have you seen Hussein? No news. There's no news, no news. 10th of Muharram, any news? Salama saw the dust or the clay in her house turn red. Allahu Akbar. And even her, Umm al-Baneen, she felt something. Something's happened. Little does she know, her boy's right eye is gone. Allahu Akbar. Harmala bin Kahil with one arrow took the right eye of Abu al-Fadl. One arrow, like he took the 6-month-old baby's neck, he took Abu al-Fadl's right eye. Allahu Akbar. She doesn't know what's happening. How's her boys? And so on. She waited. It was after Ashura. Some news appeared that Zainab is in Kufa. Zainab is in Kufa. No problem. Tell me what's happening. What's the news? Does she know Zainab is in ropes in Kufa or no? Then she hears there's a group of God, but nothing. There's no concrete news. Some news had reached Jabir bin Abdullah al-Ansari. He said, I'm setting off to Karbala. The mother still doesn't know what's happening. May Allah never show a mother this situation. Until somebody came, he said, I have news from Karbala. Who was it? Bishr bin Hadlam. He called out, I have some news from Karbala. They said to him, what is it? He said, I have some news about what took place over there. He says, all of a sudden a lady came to me. She was holding a young baby boy. She said to me, what news do you have from Karbala? He said to her, who are you? Who is she? They said, you don't know who she is? He said, oh, I don't know who she is. They said to him, that's Umm al-Baneen. He looked towards her and the tears began to flow. She knew there was a piece of news about to come, but I want you to focus on her words. Because look at the self-sacrifice of this lady. Any mother would only be concerned about her boys. Her concern was one man. Because he looked towards her. He said, may Allah give you patience over the death of your son, Abdullah. She looked at him and she said, tell me about Aba Abdullah. May Allah give you patience over the death of your son, Uthman. She looked at him and she said to him, tell me about Aba Abdullah. May Allah give you patience over the death of your
Sultan Ja'far. He said to her, may Allah give you that patience. She said, tell me about Aba Abdullah. Then he looked towards her. She knew what was coming. He said to her, may Allah give you patience over the death of your son Aba Lufar. May Allah give you patience over the death of your son Abbas. The moment she heard Abbas's name, her baby fell on the ground. She fell with the baby. Then she got back up and she said, tell me about Aba Abdullah. Tell me. Wallah, if you gave me, listen to these lines. Wallah, if you gave me all the heavens and all the earth, and you gave me 70 Abbas, I'd swap all of them to see the head of Aba Abdullah. I ask you, which lady would say these lines? If you gave me the heavens and the earth, and you gave me not one Abbas, 70 Abbas, I'd swap all of them to see the head of Aba Abdullah. A month later or so, Sayyidah Zainab returned back. When Sayyidah Zainab returned back, she went inside the house. Fidla was with her inside the house. Sayyidah Zainab said, Fidla, anyone who knocks on the door, tell them that I cannot see them now. All of a sudden, they heard a knock on the door. Fidla went towards the door. Who did she open up and see? She saw Umm al-Baneen in front of her. She turned around and she said, my lady Zainab. She said to her, yes. And she said, you said to me, tell all of them to leave. She said, yes. She said, but I have Abbas's mother at the door. The moment Zainab heard, it was Umm al-Baneen. She ran towards the door. Umm al-Baneen ran towards Zainab. What did Zainab call out? She called out, Wa Abbas. But what did Umm al-Baneen call out? Wa Hussein.
With this tear, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, raise your hands, but with the tear, with the tear. Any haja you have, ask Allah through the wasila of Umm al-Baneen. Any of your hajat, say, Ya Allah, in the name of Abbas's mother, Ya Allah, I have something inside me for my daughters or for my sons. I have something inside me for my parents. I have something inside me for my rizq, my work, my business. I have a health issue. Say, Ya Allah, I'm asking you in the name of Umm al-Baneen, alayhi salam. Ya Allah, allow us to receive the shafa'ah of Umm al-Baneen. Ya Allah, allow us to perform the ziyarah of Umm al-Baneen. Allow us to sit in Jannat al-Baqi' next to Umm al-Baneen. Ya Allah, allow us to hold the grave of the sons of Umm al-Baneen in Karbala. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all our sisters. Allah gives them strength and perseverance. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the Surah Al-Fatiha, but before it, the loudest of your salawat. Allahumma salli.